from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla encourages insurance management and funding for disaster. The World Bank expresses readiness to support Palu rehabilitation. And now the news in detail. Indonesia is a country prone to disasters that can cause casualties as well as material losses of a number of infrastructure and buildings. In a dialogue forum on disaster risk and insurance funding themed National Strategy to Build Fiscal Improvement, ahead of the opening of the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank Group 2018 IMFWBG in Nusa Dua, Bali, Wednesday, October the 10th, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that Indonesia needs to have insurance and funding management to deal with various disasters that often occur in Indonesia. Before a number of state delegations participating in the IMFWBG meeting, Yusuf Kalla said that some disasters in Indonesia, from Aceh tsunami, Lombok earthquake, to tsunami in Palu and Donggala, have caused considerable material losses that require the construction and rehabilitation budget taken from the state revenue. Taking, for example, the funding of post-tsunami reconstruction and rehabilitation in Aceh, which was assisted by IMF and the United Nations. Therefore, Vice President Yusuf Kalla hopes that in the future, Indonesia needs to have insurance and funding management so as it will not depend on the foreign assistance.
Selama ini aset-aset negara itu dibuat.
So far, Indonesia's assets have been made without a fiscal risk protection due to the disaster. If the bridge is damaged, it is damaged. It is replaced again after the disaster. If the government building is damaged, it will be replaced. Everything becomes the burden of the state budget. Of course, we don't want everything to be borne by the state budget. We do not want to continuously depend on the foreign aids. How the state assets can be insured? So far, there has not been rule yet about how government assets are insured. Vice President Yusuf Kalla calls for the countries participating in the IMFWBG 2018 annual meeting to form insurance and funding management in a bid to address disasters and to ease the burden on countries affected by natural disasters. He perceived that road infrastructure and government or individual buildings are assets that need to be insured from natural disasters that cannot be predicted when and where they will occur. World Bank expressed its readiness to cooperate with Indonesia in handling the impact of the earthquake and tsunami that occurred in Palu, Central Sulawesi Province. This was affirmed by CEO of the World Bank Group, Kristalina Georgieva, after meeting Vice President Yusuf Kalla during the annual meeting of International Monetary Fund and World Bank Group IMFWBG in Nusa Dua, Bali, Wednesday, October the 10th. To reporters, Kristalina expressed the readiness of the World Bank to issue relief funds for victims of the Palu disaster. However, she did not elaborate how much money would be disbursed by the World Bank to assist Indonesia in handling this problem.
This is something that we would discuss on the basis of a needs assessment. We just finalized rapid needs assessment. What is the economic damage of the earthquake and the tsunami? And on that basis, we will work with the government to define what should be the plans for reconstruction. And then on that basis, the government would tell us what may be necessary from us. We are prepared to support Indonesia as much as the needs dictated. So it is a call for the Indonesian authorities to make, but we are prepared to provide substantial financing should that be necessary.
CEO Kristalina Georgieva further expressed her condolences over the disaster that occurred in Palu, Central Sulawesi. She encouraged the Indonesian government to increase investment in a bid to prevent the fall of many victims by building earthquake-resistant houses. She also said that the World Bank is ready to support the rehabilitation and reconstruction of Palu to build stronger buildings. This is needed especially by the people living in the earthquake-prone areas. Indonesia's success at the 2018 Asian Games spreads to the Indonesian contingent of 2018 Asian Para Games. In regard to the success, Chief the Mission of the Indonesian contingent at Asian Para Games, Armin Shah said proudly at Bung Karno Sports Complex in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon, October the 10th, that the target of the 16 gold medals and the 8th rank that has been targeted by President Joko Widodo has already been achieved. And even it is exceeding the target. We received a report that Indonesian contingent has got 18 gold medals. The most gold medals are from chess. We get 6 gold and gold for branch lawn ball. So there are 18 gold medals in total. We still have more than that, and even this is exceeding.
Ini masih ada lagi. Kita harapkan lebih dari itu kita akan dapat lagi.
Armin Shah hopes that Indonesian team will continuously get additional gold medals. So the success is not only in medals, but also in the country's ranks in the total tally of the 2018 Asian Para Games. In addition, he views that the success of Indonesian athletes depends not only on their skills and coaches, but also their psychology team that maintains their mentality and enthusiasm to compete with other disabled athletes. Indonesian Consulate General in Houston, USA, warned all Indonesian citizens to be careful, alert, and obedient to local government related to Hurricane Michael that hits Florida, Georgia, and Alabama at running text of local media. Recently, the Consulate General in Houston has kept on monitoring and communicating with Indonesian people in the states to monitor if there are Indonesian citizens who are hit by Hurricane Michael. It was reported that the number of Indonesian citizens in Florida is 2,811 people and in Panama City, Florida, about 83 people. Regarding with Hurricane Michael, Indonesian citizens can call hotline for 24 hours of Indonesian Consulate General in Houston with phone number +1-346-932-7284. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian teak wood furniture products are growing in demand in the United States. It was shown in potential transactions over teak wood furniture worth $1 million and trial order for $324,480 by 7 U.S. importers. It was stated by head of the Indonesian Trade Promotion Center ITPC in Chicago, Billy Anugrah, as quoted by Antara News Agency on Wednesday. The transactions took place at an exhibition of Casual Market 2018 held at Merchandise Mart, Chicago, from September 25th to 28th this year. Besides, Billy Anugrah also said that the market of outdoor furniture in the U.S. grows 6% a year, and Indonesia should take advantage of the growing demand. Casual Market is the world's largest exhibition of outdoor furniture, attended by 19 companies and 250 exhibitors from various countries. Indonesia took part in the exhibition through cooperation among ITPC Chicago and the Consulate General of Indonesia in Chicago and two Indonesian exporters, PT Evoline Furniture Industry and PT Indo Exim International. Indonesian lawn bowls athlete Iwayan Damai won the B6 Men's Singles Class Bronze Medal or Polio Wheelchair at the 2018 Asian Para Games. The medal was won after collecting 8 points from 5 matches. In this class, the Korean athlete Chung Kyu Im won gold medal with 13 points. Then the silver medal was won by Malaysian athlete Nor Firzan with 9 points. Wayan's achievements in lawn bowls were really unexpected. Many opponents did not think that Wayan, as a new name in the sport, was able to play very well. In a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, October 10, the Korean athlete Chung Kyu Im admitted he was frustrated when facing Wayan. Damai is an athlete who has just been involved in lawn bowl sports, so I didn't expect that he was a good player. But when I competed with him, he really played well. His game frustrated me. But with the experience that I have, I was finally able to deal with it. Chung Kyu Im himself must be satisfied to get the 12-12 series when facing Wayan in the 19th match or the 7th match on the 4th day of the 2018 Asian Para Games. Lawn bowls is a sport that is not so popular in Indonesia. Lawn bowls are challenging sports. The player tries to roll a flat ball, called a bowl, as close as possible to a smaller ball called a jack. This sport looks similar to bowling, but bowling uses spin as its target. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla encourages insurance management and funding for disaster. The World Bank expresses readiness to support Palu rehabilitation. And that was the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Success of Asian Para Games. The enthusiasm and success of the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang became the inspiration of the Indonesian contingent at the 2018 Asian Para Games. The success of winning many medals and proud achievement can be realized. The spirit of disabled athletes is not very different from other normal athletes. They also want to show their best achievements. When receiving the contingent of 2018 Asian Games athletes at the State Palace in October 2018, President Joko Widodo hoped that Indonesia's success at the 2018 Asian Games could spread to Asian Para Games. It turns out that what is expected can be realized. When watching the weightlifting match, President Joko Widodo expressed his optimism that the target of 16 gold medals has been exceeded and the top 8 requested is also realized. For this reason, he said that in pursuit of better achievements, the appearance of Indonesian athletes overseas needs considering. Meanwhile, Minister of Youth and Sport Imam Nahrawi said that although the target has been reached, he is still not satisfied. He hopes that the achievements made by Indonesian disabled athletes at the 2018 Asian Para Games can be their way of being appreciated by the community and no one underestimate the disabled people. Chief the mission of Indonesian contingent at the Asian Para Games, Arminsa hopes that additional achievement of the gold medal will continue for the Indonesian contingent as many Indonesian athletes enter the medal round. He also added that the success of Indonesian athletes depends not only the greatness of the athletes and the skill of the coach but also the assistance of psychology team that maintains mentality and enthusiasm to compete with other disabled athletes at the 2018 Asian Para Games. Reflecting on the success in one competition to another competition needs mental and strong spirit in a match. In addition, the presence of therapies and psychologists to athletes is important. This was proven by the statement of Chief the Mission of Indonesian contingent, who said that the involvement of psychologists in athletes is directly proportional to the achievements. In addition, a therapist in a continent is also important so that the athletes are comfortable with their physical condition to face the match. Regardless of who plays an important role, the success of the Asian Games 2018 and Asian Paragames 2018 has become separate note for the Indonesian people to welcome Indonesian Golden Generation in 2045. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over our rival service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. Well, we start for an event on October 11, 1968, when NASA launched Apollo 7, the first successful U.S. human-manned space mission. Apollo 7 was the first manned launch mission in the Apollo program. The mission took 11 days to orbit the Earth and also the first manned launch of the Saturn IB launch rocket and the first space mission with three people from the United States of America. They were Captain of Navy Walter Skira, J.R. Major of Air Force Don Ellisert, and Pilot Civil Trial Walter Conninhant. The mission was launched from Cape Canaveral in Florida, the United States of America, on October 11, 1968 and landed on October 22, 1968. Apollo 7 orbited on the sky for 10 days, 20 hours, 9 minutes and 3 seconds, with number of red line as many as 163 times. The next event is that in 1976, four series of terrorists in China were arrested. Four radical figures were arrested by China's government. One of them was a widow of founder of People's Republic of China, Mao Zedong, Jiang Qing, known with the mentioning Madame Mao. She was arrested on October 11, 1976. The arrest of four people were known as Gang of Four. Was an order of new leader of China's Communist Party, Huan Guofeng. Besides Jian, the three figures who were arrested were Wan Hongwen, Yao Wenyuan, and Sun Chenyaku. The involved in the cycle of China's power at Mao's leadership era and supporters of Cultural Revolution movement who killed intellectual groups and opposition, and also illegally punished them who were considered bourgeois community and pro-imperialist in China. But under Guofeng and Deng Xiaoping leadership, China did not want again to return to Cultural Revolution era during 1960s that caused many casualties and suffering. Thus, new leader of China's Communist Party decided that the four people were immediately arrested, and eventually they were declared guilty and sentenced to death. And the last event is that in 2012, it's about International Girl Day. On December 11, 2011, the United Nations Assembly adopted Resolution number 66-170, which declared on October 11 as International Girl Day. October 11, 2012 was the past commemoration of Girl Day. The commemoration is aimed to recognize the rights of women and unique challenge which is faced by girls throughout the world. International Girl Day focuses on the need to handle challenge which is faced by the girls and to promote women empowerment and fulfillment of their human rights. The girls have rights to live safely, educationally, and healthy. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia, through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. The topic today is 7th of coral reefs discussed at the IMF World Bank meeting. Starting a series of annual meetings, officials of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank Group IMF WBG, along with a number of working cabinet ministers, planted coral reefs in Nusa Dua area, Bali, on Sunday. The event was attended by Managing Director of IMF, Christine Lagarde, and accompanied by Minister of Finance, Sri Mulyani Indrawati, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, and Governor of Bank Indonesia, Ferry Warjio. Minister Sri Mulyani also promised to discuss and address not only economic issues, but also environmental ones at the annual meeting. To the media, she said that 60% of the total species of coral reefs in the world exist in Indonesia, or the largest in the world. All parties must begin to think of a form of protection. She also promised to highlight this issue to the 2018 Bali IMF WBG annual meeting. Minister Sri Mulyani reasons that Indonesian coral reefs belong not only to Indonesia, but also to the world, and they must be jointly protected for the future generations. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said this activity showed a commitment of Indonesian government to preserve the environment, especially in the sea. Nusa Dua area itself is part of the world coral triangle. The coral reefs are the place for marine biota, and a large source of protein. On the same occasion, Managing Director of IMF, Christine Lagarde, said this is the second opportunity for her to participate in environmental care activities with Minister Luhut. Previously, she participated in cleaning the riverfront waste, especially plastic. Lagarde added the recent manifestation of the IMF's concern for the environment, including conducting research and publishing reports on which parts of the earth are the best and worst affected by climate change. In addition, the IMF has also prepared a financing scheme for insurance for environmental sustainability. According to Lagarde, planting these coral reefs shows the IMF concern for the environment and climate change. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesia is a country prone to disasters that can cause casualties as well as material losses of a number of infrastructure and buildings. In the dialogue, Forum Disaster Risk and Insurance Funding with the theme National Strategy for Building Fiscal Improvement ahead of the opening of the annual meeting of the IMF WBG in Nusa Dua, Bali, Vice President Sukala said that Indonesia needs to have insurance and funding management to deal with various disasters that often occur in Indonesia. The World Bank expresses its readiness to cooperate with Indonesia in handling the impact of the earthquake and tsunami disaster that occurred in Palu, Central Sulawesi. Indonesia's success at the 2018 Asian Games spread to the Indonesian contingent of 2018 Asian Para Games. In regard to the success, Chief the Mission of the Indonesian contingent at Asian Para Games, Armin Shah said proudly at Bung Karno Sports Complex in Jakarta on Wednesday that the target of 16 gold medals and the 8th rank that has been expected by President Joko Widodo has already been achieved, and even it is exceeding the target. Indonesian Consulate General in Houston, USA, warned all Indonesian citizens to be careful, alert, and obedient to local government related to Hurricane Michael that hits Florida, Georgia, and Alabama at the running text of local media. Indonesian teak wood furniture products are growing in demand in the United States, and it was shown in potential transactions of a teak wood furniture worth $1 million and trial order of $324,480 by 7 U.S. importers. Indonesian lawn bowl athletes Iwayan Damai won the B6 Men Singles Class Bronze Medal or Polio Wheelchair at the 2018 Asian Para Games. And listener, that's News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you about Bekeler Village in Tangerang. So, stay tuned with us in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Listener, not far from Jakarta, just drive for approximately 1 hour, you will arrive at Kampung Bekeler Tourist Attraction. This village, located in Babakan sub-district, Tangerang City, Banten, was once a slum area. However, now, Bekeler Village becomes a beautiful and Instagrammable destination. In Bekeler Village, you can see colorful villages and you can also take photos, taste culinary, until you can also explore education about aquaponics planting. Listener, Bekeler Village has an area about 8 hectares. In this village, there are 300 houses painted colorfully and 100,000 murals. Arriving at Bekeler Village, you will find a building that reads Kampung Bekeler. You can take photos there with the Cisadane River background and the Red Bridge of Tangerang City. On the opposite side, right on the wall of the residence house, there is also a mural that reads Kampung Bekeler, which can also be one of the best photo spots. Interesting tourism activities in this village are going around the village. You will find many mural works by Indonesian artists from various regions. While walking leisurely, you can walk around with only 30 to 60 minutes. Listener, if you want to get around the village, there are some beautiful entrances. At the main gate, there are a variety of murals that you can make a photo background. The local people decorate the entrance gate by hanging colorful umbrellas to passion fruit fronds. There is a symbol of love made from iron at the gate. This can also be your selfie background. Listener, in Bekeler Village, there is a seed house which is also a spot for educational tour. If you go there, it is advisable to bring plastic drinking bottles. The bottles will be recycled and used as an aquatic planting museum made by the residents. Here, you can also learn to plant aquaponics. Traveling to Bekeler Village, you can also take a culinary tour here. Some rice stalls have been opened during the day, providing nasi remas to nasi ulam. In the afternoon, you can taste a variety of foods such as pancong cakes, dongkal cakes, soto or soup. Even coffee and various other foods and drinks are also available. When you are going home, don't forget to buy Bekeler's traditional souvenirs, which are made by local residents, such as shirts, hats, stickers, keychains, mugs, and bags. The price varies depending on the type. That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Bekeler Village. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is Sarah Word Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miss Eleni. In today's edition, we will present you information about Perfect, an application to detect fruit ripeness. Stay tuned. Listeners, the majority of Indonesian people work as farmers. They want to have abundant crops with excellent quality. Their crops must be properly ripe, of course. To obtain ripe crops, the farmers need to know the right period of harvest. In a bid to help Indonesian farmers decide the right period of harvest, a student of Sebelas Maret University in Solo, Central Java, develops an Android-based application to detect the level of fruit ripeness. Called Perishable Food Maturity and Freshness Detector, or PERFECT, is designed to help farmers identify the level of fruit ripeness. The aim of the application is to decide the right period of harvesting crops. So far, people have only estimated to decide the right period of harvest. For example, bananas should be harvested when the ripeness level reaches 70%. Thus, they will not be ripe well or rotten when sold in market. Accuracy is necessary in detecting fruit ripeness, so fruits can be sold to consumers in proper condition. The detection of fruit ripeness must be accurate, particularly if the fruits are to be exported. To find out about the level of ripeness, we can observe the colors of the fruit skin. The colors are composed of three colors, namely red, blue, and green. The application is used to detect the composition of fruit's color by referring to the database set in the application. To detect the ripeness of their crops, farmers only need to capture the photo of their fruits using the camera on their phone, and the photo will be processed by the PERFECT application. The application will measure the composition of the RGB colors, or red, green, and blue, in the photo. Through the process, we can find out about the ripeness of the fruits. The application still needs further development. Currently, it can only be used to detect the ripeness of Ambonis banana. PERFECT is designed not only for farmers but also for consumers who will buy foods. It will prevent consumers from selecting rotten foods. The consumers only need to capture the photo of the foods they will buy. They can buy by using Android smartphone, and the photo will be processed by the PERFECT application. Rotten foods have high acidity. The acidity will be reflected in the color of the foods. The PERFECT application will detect the acidity through the photo. This application became the third winner in the National Scientific Paper Competition held by the Indonesia Exim Bank, or the Export Financing Agency. That was Miss Eleni about PERFECT, an application to detect fruit ripeness. See you on the next edition with other interesting topics.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI, World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are.
Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you some nostalgic pop songs of Bettaria Sonata. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to Semua Bisa Bilang, sung by Bettaria Sonata. Stay with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through live streaming, www.voinews.id or RRI Play application. Listeners, that song entitled Semua Bisa Bilang, sung by Bettaria Sonata. The singer, with her full name Sri Bettaria Sonata, has begun her career as a singer since 1980s. Her first album entitled Kau Tercipta Untukku was released in 1981. Her favorite song in the album is the same title, Kau Tercipta Untukku. The song made her name well-known in Indonesian pop music. The song Kau Tercipta Untukku tells about someone who feels himself or herself and his or her beloved one is a couple created by God to be together. Listeners, this is a song Kau Tercipta Untukku. Have a nice listening. Well, listeners, you have just listened to the song sung by Betaria Sonata. Next, I will present you a song entitled Terlambat Sudah. The song has been popularized by a group of music Punbirds in 1976. The song Terlambat Sudah tells about someone who has realized that his or her ex-beloved one was the right person for him or for her. Unfortunately, she or he was late for the person because the person had husband or wife. Well, listeners, Let's listen to a song entitled Terlambat Sudah.
Terlambat sudah kau datang padaku, setelah ku dapatkan penggantimu. Kini hatiku tertutup untukmu. Cukup sudah penderitaanku. Mengapa dulu kau tinggalkan apapun padaku, kala itu cintaku sedang tumbuh. Kau biarkan menjadi layu. Kini kau datang lagi padaku, setelah kau siksa diri.
Listeners, to end our segment Music Corner, I will present you a song entitled Hati Yang Luka. I am Ahmad Faisal. Goodbye. See you then.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.